The real challenge in all this, the real risk in all this, was the time. Can you do it in the time allotted and meet the deadlines for starting in May, June, and finishing for an October launch? Or with recovery.gov, we actually launched at the end of September. The timing is the real issue, and that's where the risk comes, and that's where, you know, from a contracting perspective, that's where you end up sort of paying, because there's a large amount of risk. It is a very complicated, it's not a simple website, it's a very complicated application. It's probably, Microsoft tells us, it's the biggest public-facing SharePoint application. And also the costs were over 2.5 years. It wasn't a 1-year cost.
Right.
Most of it was front-loaded for the development, but it's operation and maintenance. There's a lot of things you end up paying for, content management and things like that. So it's a fairly complicated site. There's a lot of, every quarter we have to geocode the data and put it on the map so people can see it, exactly where these projects are being conducted.
And one of the interesting little tidbits in this white paper is that you use the Alliant contract because it was seen as the most efficient way to reach out to a large number of vendors very quickly. 56 of the 59 Alliant contractors didn't even apply.
Right, they thought the risk was too high. And I've got to hand it, you know, I've got to give some credit that we work closely with GSA. We consulted with them. If you look at the timing for most federal contracts, GSA was telling us, you know, most contracts, it's 260 days till you get them in place. That was our definition of failure. So they were the ones who really said we should use this mechanism. We concurred with that, and we were able to put a contract in place very, very quickly, and it worked.
I know you had a very close-knit program management team between the recovery board and Smartronics, the lead contractor on this. That seems like a pretty critical relationship to have.
Yeah, it was. And we had, like I said, if you look at federalreporting.gov, the other system, we had the same relationship with CGI, and that was with our partners over at EPA and CGI. So we had a very, very close, I think one of the keys why we were successful, I have a great IT team. I think you may have talked to Jim Warren, my CIO.
Mm-hmm.
These are people in the federal space that understand IT. So this is not we're just relying on contractors to tell us what's the right thing or did they do the right thing. Our people knew as much as they did. So we were able to sort of form a very, very integrated team. And we're able to move on and solve problems that way. Our people had their sleeves rolled up and, you know, on phone calls at, 2 o'clock in the morning kind of thing, solving problems along with the contractors.
One of the interesting challenges was, and Evan Burfield, when I asked him his lessons learned from this whole process, he said, I think if we had to do it over again, we probably would have used the cloud earlier. And most people probably don't know, a lot of, at least all the testing went on in the cloud, and now the entire website is a cloud-based website.
Right. Now, Federal Reporting, or I'm sorry, recovery.gov is the sort of the first government-wide website that went up into the cloud, infrastructure as a service. I think Evan's right on that. I think we probably would have just gone with the cloud. We went with the traditional model basically because of the, you know, high profile of the website if you looked at the development, Evan described that very, very eloquently. We did a lot of the development, a lot of the testing in the cloud. That was what made us successful. That's why we could do it so quickly. And then we transitioned to the cloud this spring, and it took us about 12 weeks to do that. I think the interesting thing that we have that other federal sites may not have is, you know, there's no confidential information. There's no personal privacy information. So we were able to sort of not be as concerned about some of the security things that other systems may be concerned with.
Yeah, so. You're not as worried about the security options because your data is inherently public.
I want everyone to see it.
Steal
it if you want.
Transparency is in your middle name, for
that's
goodness
it,
sakes.
That's it.
Give us a little sense because one of the early things in was about these congressional districts. There were incorrect congressional districts. My guess is that people just didn't know what congressional district they were in, so they typed in a bunch of numbers.
I think either they made something up just to fill in, you know, a code and to get their report in, or they may have even used state districts. You know, states may have more than know, if there's six federal congressional districts, a state might have 30. And so they might have got confused and used those. And that was a problem, and it was an obvious QA problem, which we fixed fairly quickly. We now have a U.S. Postal Service API that when you go into the site, if you're in Rhode Island and you have a Rhode Island zip code, you can't put in a Utah congressional district or more congressional districts than a state will have. And it'll actually tell you which congressional districts to go into. And part of that was a development cycle, I think, Chris. If we had a longer time to develop it, we might have baked some of that in early on. We didn't. So as we see problems, that was a problem the first quarter, we go in and fix them. And so we've done that. This last quarter, we didn't make a lot of changes. So people are getting used to the system. It seems to be working well. And it seems to be pretty well received.
One of the challenges it seemed like you had was getting people to get the transparency aspect of this. And I hear this a lot from agencies that they have to explain why transparency matters and the potential that the data might not be correct. And actually your chairman Devaney said, my favorite quote from him was, if you're easily embarrassed, don't venture into the transparency world.
Transparency is a difficult area to work in.
Yeah.
You're easily embarrassed. You need kind of a thick skin, because what we portray, I mean, one thing I'm very proud of our website, recovery.gov, is it's nonpartisan. It doesn't take any particular position. It just presents the facts as best we can in a simple fashion. It's sort of the world's biggest civics lesson. I'm trying to explain to everyone what grants are, what contracts are, how these tax provisions work. So what we do is present, and on the contracts, grants, and loans, the $275 billion of the program that's in that area, we present what the recipients are telling us. You know, they're doing some jobs. This is what they say they received as far as money. This is where they say they're working. So if they've made errors, they're their errors. We'll correct them over time or work with them over time to correct them. But what you see immediately is just what's been reported, and that can be embarrassing. They could, you know, claim, and that's part of what we've started to build in is some of the fail safes. You know, you can't use a New Hampshire zip code in Nevada.
Yeah.
So we're as we move through, we're learning where errors can be made. But the problem is people do make errors, and the problem is if you present them on a website really quickly, you get blamed for people think it's your error, where in fact it's not. It's something the recipient did. That's the other thing on this, Chris. If you look at it, it's a real paradigm shift for the federal government. We're presenting financial data within 30 days at the end of a quarter. You know, if you look at a federal financial audit, it takes them a year to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is just very, very rapid sort of snapshot of what's happening with an economic program. So it's unique.
And my sense is that people are starting to get this, that these are various data points and that you have to actually take all these data points. You can't use any one single data point as the be-all and end-all.
Right.
But
right.
That is a big change just in our own, I guess, human beings' mentality
how
we assess this data.
Significant change. And just the fact that it happened so quickly is something that people aren't used to.
I got to ask, because the Recovery Board made up of a lot of inspector generals, people
right.
used to, instead of getting their work looked at this closely, and they're used to looking at other people's work. That almost had to be a challenge in and of itself as you're doing this and thinking, oh my goodness, people, it's all these people who are going to come back and say, all these people that we've critiqued before, all of a sudden we're having to eat our own dog food, so to speak.
Yeah, I think, you know, the interesting thing in hindsight, looking back at it and talking to Chairman Devaney, you know, there's 13 IGs. There's the chairman, who a former IG, or he's still acting IG, I guess, and 12 other IGs that comprise the board. There's probably a lot of groups that could build websites better than that group, because that's not their main business.
Right.
They're mainly focused on the accountability. But there's some wisdom in putting the website under them, in that you do get that. They're very independent, and you do get that sort of nonpartisan view of the world. So, yeah, they're not used to maybe this high profile, although they do some high profile work. But one thing, they've been very supportive. You know, there's a recovery.gov committee of the board that sort of I have to consult with as I do my work on transparency and on the IT side. They've been very supportive, and they give good guidance. And they might not be used to this high profile position, but if you look at the website, they've done a pretty good job with it.
We'll have the paper linked up on federalnewsradio.com, and it's only what, 9 pages, 13 pages?
I think it's 13 pages long.
It's not long. It's not dense. I think it offers a lot of lessons learned in there. As you sort of read through this and put this together, what was your big takeaway? Something that perhaps other agencies might be able to learn from the steps you've had to go through.
Personally, because I was doing a lot of the project management, it was sort of the critical path adaptive management techniques we basically went into this with a known schedule. We had deadlines. We knew what they were. We had things we knew had to happen, and we just never let problems stop us. We did things, for instance, when I talk about helping problem solvers, change management in the IT world is you can have very, very elaborate change management process. We had a very light change management process where there were 3 or 4 key people that had to review problems and solutions and say, yes, let's do it that way. That really is what made us successful. We were able to get decisions made very, very quickly.
And the way, you know what, the thought that came into my mind as I was reading through this was almost that palonk or whatever that, you know, you shoot the ball up and it bounces down. You guys, you know, you have all these bounces that you hit,
right.
but you kept the goal in mind and you did have that very rapid, I keep saying it over and over again, but I think it's very, you had to get this done in a certain period of time,
right.
And so you had to figure out how to do it.
It was an interesting project. It was a fun project to work on. A lot of work, a lot of elbow grease involved. I think there's one part of the paper that talks about one of the contractors describe it as building the ship as it's leaving the port.
Right.
Danny Werfel over at OMB actually had a better way of saying it was, it's like changing the tire in the car while it's moving, which was pretty much what it was. So it's even more difficult, I think.
And I know you're not sitting back and resting in your laurels. You've won Webbies and all sorts of cool awards. Are you constantly looking at making the site better?
Yeah, we're looking at different things to do. We're sort of looking at a redesign of the website. Edward Tufte, who's sort of the guru of data, is one of the consultants, I guess, for the board. He's on a panel that consults with the board, and he's got some designs that he's interested in us developing and putting on there. So we're always looking at better ways to do this. We're looking at better ways to, you know, it's complicated information. This is, like I said, it's the world's biggest civics project. It's difficult to describe these very arcane government accounting sort of systems so the common man can understand them easily, and that's our goal. And so we're always looking at redesigning, and we're probably gonna come out with some widgets, applications, you know, development page. We're probably gonna come out with a better learning center, things that educators can use, things like that. So we'll be adding things over time to try and keep people's interest up and try and make sure that the public is aware of what's happening with the program.